Chapter 1. The road had that end-of-the-world look. Long, empty, and quiet in a way that didn't feel natural. Three targets in a Toyota Camry ahead of me were holding a clean line. No drift, no sudden brake lights, no nerves. That kind of calm usually meant one of two things. Either they were completely clean, or they were dangerous enough not to care. My money stayed on the second. I had been riding their shadow long enough for my instincts to start whispering. 20 minutes, maybe more. I kept the distance loose, using the heavy Texas night as a cloak, letting the darkness wrap around me like a favor I wasn't sure I trusted. Out there, past the city glow, the road stretched thin and lonely, the kind of dead zone where bad decisions didn't echo, they just vanished. Which made the rules simple. You either hunted, or you got hunted. I had picked them up earlier in the Woodlands, a quiet neighborhood north of Houston. Upscale homes and apartment blocks tucked behind trees, and decorative stone signs trying hard to look friendly. The Camry had been sitting outside a secluded apartment block for most of the evening. So had I. I stayed parked down the block in the shadows, engine off, hat low. Coffee going cold beside me. The three men inside the sedan barely moved. No phone screens lighting up their faces. No cigarettes. Just staring. Professionals always had patience. By the time the last of the suburbs disappeared, the moon was doing most of the work, throwing a pale, silver sheen across the Texas asphalt, like a trail leading somewhere nobody decent had any business going. The highway eventually gave way to a narrow, unlit county road, cutting through raw, empty land. The deeper we pushed, the heavier the silence became. In my world, that kind of silence is the quiet, right before the ambush hits. I wasn't out there in Texas by accident. I had come down from Colorado to visit an old friend, Wayne Hardman, rancher out near Brenham. The plan was a few days of dust, horses, and not thinking too hard about anything. But the universe has a way of correcting your peace. At the airport, I bumped into Captain Cade Miller, a name and face I recognized from another war. A Black Hawk pilot who had flown into a hot zone and pulled me and my Delta team out when things were falling apart. You don't forget the man who lifts you out of hell. Miller had built a quiet life, flying charter jobs, keeping things simple. But simple doesn't last when the wrong people take an interest. Someone had grabbed his family and snapped a leash around his neck. The three shadows in the Camry ahead, they were the leash. Miller got the message out through layers of static and half-finished sentences, talking like a man who knew somebody was listening from the next room. I understood him anyway. Family gone. Watched every second. No cops. No options. From that moment on, this stopped being a quiet trip to Texas. Didn't take long for me to transform from a casual visitor into a ghost those men didn't know had begun haunting them. Wayne handed me the keys to his Ford F-250 Super Duty before I left the ranch after Miller's call. Along with a Glock 19, and a look ranchers usually reserved for storms rolling in from far away. Just in case, he had said. Now I was deep into that just in case, following a sedan into the kind of empty Texas nowhere, where people got buried under cattle stories, and nobody asked too many questions afterward. I eased off the throttle a little. Out there, on a road this dead, headlights were a good way to announce yourself. The deeper we pushed into the back roads, the worse the tail got. Too quiet. Too exposed. My headlights were probably painting me across the asphalt like a billboard. Men like the ones in that Camry would eventually notice the same pair of lights hanging behind them mile after mile. They hadn't tipped their hand yet, but guys this disciplined eventually noticed patterns.